Thank you very much. My name is Nick Barrow, and I am a research specialist in Dr. Doug Soldat's lab, and I'm here to talk about a fun and interesting study we did at the O.J. Knorr Turfgrass Research Facility in Madison, Wisconsin, using organic composts, organic fertilizers, and a synthetic fertilizer. So as urban areas expand, we have several problems that in and of themselves can be unique solutions. During construction, often topsoil is removed, and then construction equipment compacts the subsoil, and then only a thin layer of topsoil is replaced to plant some grass. But then as we live our lives, we produce some waste in the forms of food, yard trimmings. As we plant trees, the branches fall, we have some wood waste. And if we put these in a landfill, we're losing quite possibly a very valuable organic matter amendment that we can just put right back on our lawns. And to give some context, of the 227 teragrams of waste that we produce each year, about 78 teragrams, or about 35% of that waste, is food, yard trimmings, and wood waste. We do recycle about 21.5 teragrams of that waste, but we're still landfilling 56.5 teragrams of the waste. So with that in mind, we started our study. We had four composts. One was a food waste compost from Compost Kids in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. They collected restaurant food scraps and composted them. Our two yard waste composts were Dane County Compost. Madison, as a municipality, actually collects it and composts it. Purple Cow Organics had a compost which was very similar to Dane County Compost, but was composted for a bit longer period of time and then sieved, so it was finer and more consistent material. And then we had a compost tea also from Purple Cow. Our two organic fertilizers were Milorganite and Chick Magic. Chick Magic is a composted poultry manure, and then our synthetic fertilizer was Scott's Turf Builder. Our soil was silt loam, and our grass type was mostly Kentucky bluegrass. A little bit of perennial rye was in there, and then we maintained it similarly to a normal homeowner would manage their lawn, and we irrigated just basically to prevent dormancy, and we did this over the course of 3.5 years. The nitrogen content of our treatments, the organic fertilizers, Chick Magic and Milorganite, had about 5% total nitrogen. The composts were between 0.5 and 0.8% total nitrogen, and Scott's Turf Builder was 29% nitrogen. The composts and organic fertilizers mostly were water insoluble, and the synthetic was mostly water soluble, so plant available immediately. And for a little bit more context about the composts, they were very similar products. Most of note would be the organic matter and carbon content of Compost Kids compost. But the most important thing with mineralization is C-N ratio, and they all had very similar C-N ratios. Our application rates, the two organic fertilizers we applied at 48 kilograms of total nitrogen per hectare. The compost, two of them, Compost Kids in Dane County, we applied at 0.61 centimeters of depth. For Compost Kids, by bulk density, that equated to about 45 megagrams per hectare. For the Dane County compost, that was 52 megagrams per hectare. Purple Cow, we did at a half rate of 0.3 centimeters of depth per application, which was equivalent to 22 megagrams per hectare. And then our tea treatment, we did apply some compost in addition to the tea, a small rate of 0.06 centimeters of depth, or 4 megagrams per hectare. The Scott's Turf Builder was 38 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. The numbers in parentheses represent the total amount of nitrogen applied at each treatment or application time. And the literature states that anywhere from 5 to 25% of compost organic matter mineralizes, so each application was about 10 to 90 kilograms of plant available nitrogen per hectare. The organic fertilizers were applied spring, summer, and fall. The composts were applied spring and fall, and then in the case of tea, we did that every 6 weeks. We applied the fertilizers by hand with either hand shaker or a 5 gallon bucket. We raked in the composts. Plots were 6 feet by 4 feet, and the compost tea was applied by hand sprinkler. We took color, visual quality bi-weekly. We mowed weekly, but then collected clippings about once every month. And then at the end of the study, we took bulk density samples and T-probe samples to conduct physical and chemical analysis on them. And here are the results for quality by week. It's a little bit busy of a slide. It's hard to separate all 8 treatments, but basically the blues are the composts, the reds are the organic fertilizers, the green is the tea treatment, and orange is the synthetic fertilizer. The beginning part of the study, there was a lot more separation between quality, between treatments. Typically, the two organic fertilizers were the closest match to the synthetic fertilizer. The back half of the study, the variation was a little bit tighter, but all of them were above the control, and then the scale here, quality was done on a typical 1 to 9 scale, with 6 being minimally acceptable, so the black line, horizontal line, is that 6 rating. All of them did better than the control, and typically during the summer were above that quality of 6. Clipping mass was very similar, where the two organic fertilizers had similar clipping masses in the beginning as the synthetic. The compost had lesser to start out with, but produced similar clipping mass towards the end of the study. And then these are the study-wide averages. I didn't present the weekly color ratings, but they're as a study-wide average here. Chick Magic had the best color and quality throughout the course of the study. But again, this color showed that the back half of the study, that third and half of the fourth year, the range was a lot closer, where the compost, kids' compost, actually had similar color as the Chick Magic and synthetic fertilizer. All the composts or the higher rate composts had above the minimum quality of 6. The half rate of purple cow was below 6, and then clipping yield per week expectedly was correlated with quality. These are some of the end-of-study profiles. We took these with just a spade shovel, and most importantly, the two high-rate compost treatments that we had. You can really see the accumulation of compost in the upper layer. And it's represented in the physical properties, bulk density, especially the higher rate compost significantly lowered bulk density in the top 7.5 centimeters of the profile. This half rate was right in the middle for basically all the measurements. Saturated hydraulic conductivity, the compost had the highest saturated conductivity as opposed to the synthetic and the control. And then plant available water was also significantly increased in the compost treatments, with that half rate basically a middle number again. And then, you know, typical ET is about 5 millimeters per day, so this is adding 4 to 5 days worth of drought resilience just by adding the compost. This is sort of a busy slide, and it's the chemistry of it, but I want to focus on organic matter content and phosphorus content. The composts increased the organic matter percentage quite significantly over the control, and that half-rate compost was, again, a middle number right between the synthetics and the control. And then in the case of phosphorus, there's 2 things to note. The minimum, the threshold level for phosphorus soil test numbers is 100 parts per million in Wisconsin. So we can see that's elevated and pretty close. But given that there's the increase in soil physical properties and with water infiltration, hopefully that wouldn't be seen in phosphorus runoff. and Milorganite fertilizer, a product that contains phosphorus, actually did not increase phosphorus content of the soil at the end of the 3 years. In the case of weeds and disease, we didn't recognize any disease pressure in our plots over the course of the study. We took dandelion, clover, and plantain measurements. The compost did not suppress disease at all. They, even though they were raked in, it's possible that because it was applying just that material, it was an open seed bed for any weed seeds to come in and germinate. But the Chick Magic and Milorganite, the organic fertilizers, showed very little weeds in their plots. So the conclusions from our study, the compost applications of 1.22 centimeters of depth split into spring and fall applications were enough to maintain acceptable turf quality over the 3.5 year period. It was seen, but to a lesser degree, in that half rate of 0.61 centimeters of depth. Organic fertilizers can match the growth characteristics of synthetic fertilizers, and we observed significant improvements in soil physical properties, including available water holding capacity and bulk density from our compost treatments. The fertilizer, both the synthetic and organic treatments, had lesser of an impact on soil physical properties in the compost over the study period. And compost treatments and the Chick Magic fertilizer all showed elevated levels of soil P, but did not reach levels of environmental concern. And this is because of those increases in physical properties, the need for repeated applications may not be necessary. And Milorganite product with phosphorus did not significantly increase P relative to the control. And this is a picture that I took about a week ago. And this is about 18 months after our last compost application. You can see that even in the end of fall, it's still working to green up the soil. So this is basically, it's taken, this picture is taken this way. This is just a side view with another compost treatment over here. And so I'd like to acknowledge the people who helped conduct the study and our collaborators on the project. With that, I can take any questions that you may have.
Question for Nick. Could you study and measure organic matter, but did you actually measure thatch accumulation in
We did not. Basically, we're considering organic matter. We took our bulk density cores, dried them, ground them, so it was basically that entire profile, and then sent them to the lab for organic matter testing. So thatch would be included in that.
What extractant did you use for phosphorus?
We sent those to the soil and plant analysis lab, and I am not sure. I do not know. Oh, yeah, it's great.
One more question in the back.
Did you do any economic comparisons between the use of those products?
We did not do any economic consideration between the costs. We basically treated this as how a homeowner would apply it, so we used bag rates and just applied it. So, no, we did not do an economic analysis of the energy that it would take to actually apply the compost.
Thank you, Nick.